News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, the Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, will bring the general scheme of the International Protection Bill to Cabinet today. Basically, what that means is it's going to speed up asylum applications, including a very ambitious three-month time limit for decisions to be made on asylum applications. I think the deadline for that is the middle of next year for that to actually happen. Nick Henderson is the CEO of the Irish Refugee Council. He gave us his reaction to the plans.
So the heads of bill, which the minister will bring to Cabinet, is the first step in the process of implementing the EU Pact on Migration and Asylum. The Irish Refugee Council and many other charities in Ireland and in Europe opposed the pact. We believe it's an erosion of asylum rights. It's a shift towards deterrence and externalization, and it begins to introduce things like the possibility of detention into the Irish asylum procedure in the form of what's called the border procedure. So we are really concerned about the contents of the pact. And then in addition, what was published today also includes reference to the limiting access to what are called in-person appeals. So going forward, unless your case met a small, a really tiny category of cases, your appeal against a negative asylum decision would be on the papers only. An in-person appeal is what we believe a fundamental safeguard in the asylum process, and we'd be very concerned about its removal. So there is a long way to go. This is the first step in the legislative process, but we have significant concerns.
Okay, that was Nick Henderson, CEO of the Irish Refugee Council, giving us his reaction. Let's talk to Colm Malone, immigration lawyer, head of legal research at Thomas Coughlin and co-solicitors. Colm, for people just waking up this morning, just in layman's language, what exactly is Jim O'Callaghan bringing to Cabinet this morning?
Hey, good morning, Shane. Well, what Jim is doing really is he is just bringing forward legislation which is going to implement, as Nick said, the EU Migration and Asylum Pact, which is an agreement between all of the EU countries on how they're going to deal with asylum and refugee matters going forward into the future. So the first thing to be said really is that insofar as the minister has been talking some big talk recently about how he is making all of these, what he would call improvements to the process and how he's going to speed everything up, he's got very little to do with it. I mean, these are consequential amendments that we have to make in order to bring us in line with what all of Europe is going to be doing from June 2026. In terms of the content of that, obviously, I mean, Nick there mentioned what's called the border procedure. So essentially, there are two main tracks down which they're going to send asylum seekers under this new pact. The standard procedure, which definitely shouldn't be called that, because almost nobody's going to be sent down it, or the border procedure. So certain categories of people don't get sent down the standard track. If you're from a safe country, so called by the department, if you're from a country which has a lower than 20% grant rate of asylum applications across Europe, and most importantly, if you show up without the correct documents in Ireland or in any country in Europe, in any of those cases, you're in the border procedure. And this is the 12 weeks to get a decision, possibility of detention. Essentially, a lot of your rights are stripped away. But what, I mean, your listeners have to remember is almost everybody shows up without the correct documents because you can't apply for a visa to come to Ireland to claim asylum.
That's a bit more than that now, isn't it?
A bit more than what?
Well, you know, not having... I mean, there's people who turn up without their passport. They manage to get on the plane and then they get to Dublin. They don't have a passport. Like, I'm pro-immigration. I think Ireland needs to do its... It absolutely needs to have its... It do its bit and share its responsibility. But it's very hard to make the argument when people say, you know, there's lots of people turning up without the correct documents. And look... They're desperate people in many cases, but they know what they're doing when they don't have those.
Impact confirmed. The Slayer has been activated.
Demonic threat level increasing.
Hold the line!
All the power of hell cowering before one man.
Id Software presents Doom the Dark Ages. Available May 15th on Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 5 and PC. Pre-order now.
Rated M for mature.
Documents.
Well, okay, if we put the challenge down, let me make the argument, perhaps. If you are a woman fleeing the Taliban in Afghanistan, you literally cannot get issued a passport because they will not give a woman a passport to leave the country. Mm. If you're in Somalia, it doesn't have a functioning government, it's often impossible to get a proper passport. And even if you're from a country where you can get a passport, there's no such thing in Europe as an asylum visa. So if you are fleeing an awful situation back home, you literally cannot have the correct documents when you arrive here.
Okay.
Unless you
I don't want to be making the argument for anti-immigration, but I suppose the obvious counter-argument to that is if you're coming from Somalia or the Taliban, you're not getting a direct flight to Dublin. You have come from somewhere else first.
Absolutely, but there's a misconception here that under the Dublin regulation that you're obliged to claim asylum in the first safe country you get to. That is simply not legally the case, number one. And number two, if we talk about, because as you just mentioned, Ireland doing its fair share, if you think about it, there's essentially not a direct flight to Ireland from any country which might produce refugees. So the logic of the argument, which I'm not saying you're making, but in fairness, you're putting forward the counter argument. The logic of that argument is that we should have no refugees in Ireland. Because if you think about it, no Syrian, no Afghan, no Eritrean, no Sudanese person, etc., could get here directly, which would mean that countries that happened to have a direct link to a country that produces real refugees would have all of them, and we would have none of them, and that can't be fair either.
Yeah. Now, look, those countries wouldn't be regarded as safe countries, I imagine, under these new guidelines.
No, but I mean, if we take, for example, I mean, Georgia is regarded as a safe country. I mean, there was an election there 2 years ago, which, I mean, on the 13th of February this year, the European Parliament said that they didn't recognise that election. It was rigged. There are protesters in the street every day. And I mean, we're seeing huge difficulties there. I mean, Egypt is regarded as a safe country that's led by a dictator. I mean, to some extent, I mean, to be a safe country, the Minister for Justice just signs an order saying we think this country is safe. It doesn't really have much.
Well, to be fair, I mean, there's a little bit more than him signing it. I mean, they investigate it and then they make a judgment based on that. That's a legitimate course of action, is it not?
Every country in Europe has a different list of safe countries. And if you look at every country, and the European Commission for years has been trying to harmonize it. But the thing is that essentially there's a political angle to it. So if you look at the reason why Europe's never managed to have one list of safe countries, it's because basically people pick their favorites. So, for example, one of the reasons why Georgia and Albania are regarded as safe countries is because they're EU candidate countries. And so European Union nations don't want to insult them by implying that they might produce refugees.
Maybe people in the Department of Justice make a judgment that it is a safe country. Like, why are we automatically assuming that they're doing it for political reasons? Maybe that's their judgment.
Well, it may well be their considered judgment, but if you actually look at the number of people from these countries who, even according to the Department of Justice itself, qualify for asylum, it really has to call it into question, because legally the test for being a safe country is that there's generally and consistently no persecution in that. When you look at the figures, they just belie that.
Very final question. A lot of people would say a 3 month time limit for decisions, and using the kind of procedures that you mentioned is a pretty fair and correct way of going about it. If you're from a safe country, you should be fast tracked, and the various other procedures you mentioned. A lot of people would say that's fair, that's reasonable.
It would be great if it could work. I mean, the problem is essentially that you can't photocopy lawyers. There's only a couple of hundred people in the country are experts in refugee law. Everybody obviously is entitled to a lawyer in this process, particularly as Nick said, since you're not going to get an in-person appeal, then your interview for asylum is the only chance you're going to get to sit down and tell somebody your story. And I just don't understand how we're going to put, say, 10,000 people through the process in 3 months with all of them having access to a lawyer. I just don't know where you're going to get us from.
Colin Malone, immigration lawyer, head of legal research at Thomas Coughlin and Co. Solicitors, thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.